In 1986, audiences were dazzled by Captain EO, Michael Jackson's 3D movie spectacular at Disney's Epcot Center in Florida. In the short 17-minute film, Michael Jackson and his ragtag group of rebels face off against an evil monster played by Angelica Houston, who gets transformed into an egalitarian, happy queen through the power of love, music, and rainbows. Maybe it's a bit simplistic, but Michael Jackson's rainbow-loving Captain EO might just be what we need today to melt the hearts of tyrants everywhere and change the world.
Our guest today is writer Robin Panaccia, who's got her pulse on the hot topics as a writer for Wonkette and other major online news sites. Robin thinks we're going about it all wrong when it comes to sexual equality. While everyone's debating on whether Aziz Ansari is guilty of being a jerk, nobody's asking why he never picked up on social clues in the first place.
Today, we're tackling all the gloomy, scary, nasty news that's dividing the world and throwing some good old-fashioned Captain EO rainbow magic to turn the bored queen into Angelica Houston.
Plus, is the internet making you sick?
President Trump is trying to pass new rules that would allow healthcare workers to deny care to HIV-positive patients on religious grounds.
And Twitter announces it will soon give its users tools to identify if they've been exposed to Russian propaganda bots.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
For 14 years now, Feast of Fun has brought you great conversations with some of the world's most interesting artists, because people like you took time out of their day to support this one-of-a-kind show. Ensure our future together. Visit feastoffun.com/plus and become a member, or make a donation at feastoffun.com/donate. Thank you.
We are here to change the world. You remember that?
I don't.
What is that?
I haven't
that?
Seen it. Is it from Captain EO?
That's Captain
okay.
EO.
Okay.
The magical three-dimensional extravaganza that played for decades at Epcot Center in Disney World in Florida.
I only saw it, like, once.
I think I saw it on YouTube once. I was like, what is this? What's going on?
I've kind of been obsessed with Captain EO because, you know, Michael Jackson's whole idea of dealing with adversity in that film is by dancing and loving and singing to
you gotta
it.
Dance the blues away.
Dance the blues away. But so Angelica, this is the premise of the film, and it's directed by Francis Ford Coppola.
Oh.
And produced by George Lucas, and it stars one of the organist also from the cantina scene in Jabba the Hutt's Revenge of the Jedi, the one who plays the keyboards
okay.
with it, that looks like a blue elephant. But anyways, Michael Jackson lands on this planet where it's been taken over by an evil monster that is being played by Angelica Houston, which is the predecessor to the Borg Queen of Star Trek. The Star Trek Borg Queen was based on this character. And Michael Jackson is being attacked by her, it's like, seize him! And he's like, I'm here to deliver a message of peace and love. And he just dances and he shoots rainbows and beams out of...
That's pretty gay.
And turns him into Angelica Houston, which is an improvement.
Yeah, I mean, I wish I could turn everyone into Angelica Houston, frankly.
But I felt, you know, Angelica Houston as the monster was actually more beautiful than Angelica Houston out of drag in some ways. And that's the kind of person I am. It's like, sometimes I see a monster and I go, the monster's beautiful. And so when I hear about all these, like, horrible people in the news, you know, I know that so many people suffer endlessly and tirelessly, but I just want to create, I want to be able to go up to them like Michael Jackson. I want to go up to President Trump and sing, you know, some beautiful song. And he's like, you know, Fausto, I'm going to resign as president of the United States. And I want to make Oprah president now. Woo-hoo! And everyone gets health care. And you get health care. You get health care. Everyone gets food at schools and education and love. And God bless America. So our guest today is Robin Panaccia, who is a writer for Wonkette and various other publications, who feels that we're so caught up in arguing with each other, we don't realize we're having the wrong discussion about these hot, you know, conflicted topics to begin with. And mostly right now it's the Me Too movement. And Aziz Ansari is definitely... And Oprah for president. And all these things that are, you know, they're link bait, they're divisive, but they're also important issues, and that's why we're so passionate about them. How do you feel that we're having the wrong discussion, for example, with Aziz Ansari and Grace?
Well, you've got people immediately going on the defensive with this, you know... Oh my God, she's saying this is rape, and that's not rape. We know what rape is, but no one actually ever said it was rape.
Mm-hmm.
No one actually said it was sexual assault. What she said was that her, you know, she didn't have a good time. And
she didn't feel respected.
Yeah, she didn't feel respected. She wasn't being listened to. Her verbal and nonverbal cues were not being respected. And I don't think she was like, oh, let's go and arrest this person. But this is still a conversation that we need. Just because something isn't an arrestable offense, it doesn't mean it's not a conversation that we don't need to be having.
What kind of, I mean, how are we framing this? Because, Mark, you just picked up on the woman who wrote the article about Grace wrote an email to...
Oh, well, she's an idiot.
Broadcaster.
Well, that's the thing. And so you're kind of skewed. So the
explain
person
to that,
that wrote the article for, what is it, babe.net,
yeah.
is, you know, she proclaims herself to be a feminist. But then when she was, the article was criticized by another journalist, she wrote a letter to this journalist and said to her, like, you know, I hope you liked the likes and shares you got for trying to take down my piece, you know. And then she made fun of her for her age, her highlights in her hair and her burgundy lipstick.
Yeah.
You know, and this is a person that's been working in the field for like many, many decades. You know, she's a professional journalist. And so she's just like, you are a feminist and you're trying to, you know, project this agenda, but yet you come and attacked me for, you know, my appearance. And she's just like, what are you doing this for? Are you just doing this to get your name out there? Or are you doing this because you really have a true mission?
And I don't think they do have a true mission, quite frankly.
You mean the person who wrote the article about Aziz Ansari and Grace?
I mean, I think she's certainly extremely ageist. But at the same time, I don't think... I think that the conversation shouldn't be like, was this rape? Are people counting this as rape? Mm-hmm. I don't think it should be that. I think it should be that, like, there's a lot of nuance to these situations where people, you know, it's not rape. But it's also, you know, someone really screwing with someone's boundaries, really screwing with, you know, power dynamics and, you know, not paying attention to social cues. And we don't expect heterosexual men to pick up social cues. In fact, they get to be really cutesy about it. But like, oh, I totally don't understand women. They're so inscrutable.
That's the premise of a lot of romantic comedies is the guy's clueless. And, you know, even in sitcoms, like the husband just doesn't get it. The wife is the wiser one.
Yeah.
And but the husband's like, I didn't see it, honey.
But we present things that way, you know, and then that sort of becomes like a self-fulfilling prophecy where that's our reality. Like,
but aren't we all Americans? Aren't we all clueless to some degree?
Oh, no. I mean... We are, and people aren't always going to be perfect, but what we can do is, like, make an actual, like, if you're having sex with someone, make sure that they're also having a good time. I don't think that's a radical ask. And what we're...
like,
no,
you
know,
like you in the middle of you sticking your dick inside somebody, say, is this like, really what you want?
Yeah, well...
you could say it nice to be well, like, you can, do you want this hot pounding flesh of meat inside you?
No,
you
I usually go, are you sure? are you sure?
I'm not going to have to pay you after this,
you can tell the difference between someone who is enthusiastic to be having sex with you and someone who is, like, you know, frozen and horrified.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know... Anyone can pick that up. That's not like, you know,
well, unless you're like autistic, right? Because like people with autism don't pick up social clues, right?
Yeah, but I mean, you know, they can also, you know, to a degree learn that.
Yeah.
But
I think Aziz Ansari is now living his life as a gay man. Sorry.
But even gay men have that too. It's like, you know, they can be very pushy with other people and not pick up like, hey, listen, buddy, I'm not interested in you. You know,
yeah,
sure.
And but I think, you know, I think some people are taught to be more forceful and some people are, you know, are taught to acquiesce to somebody else.
Well, this is the thing that also needs to be considered is that, like, there are, you know, at least once a month at this point, there's an article that comes out in which a woman is murdered or shot or beat up severely for rejecting a man's advances. Mm-hmm. Like, there was just one the other day. Like, a woman didn't want to have sex with a man, and so he beat her to death.
And there was a something that went viral pretty recently about this girl who was, like, she was with her dog in the park in New York City, and some guy came up to her, and she's like, this is the reason why I don't like to say hi to people or why I give people the stone face in the public, because, you know, I said hi back to this guy, and then he starts asking me questions about, like, where do I live? And then he starts following me, and so now I've got to take some kind of route home, even though I've tried to verbally, like, tell him, like, you know, I'm not interested in you. It's just, like, I was just trying to be nice, and now I have to explain who I am and what I'm doing and all this kind of thing. She's like, now I have to worry about my own safety.
Yeah. And the thing is that, like, there's basically no way that women can win. We, you know, if we're super forceful and are like, hey, get out of my face, we could, you know, get murdered. If we assume that a man has good intentions, we're being stupid. If we assume that he has bad intentions, we're being, you know, mean feminists who think all men are bad. Mm-hmm. And so there's, like, no way for women to win in this situation, and we have to figure out a way to, you know, talk about situations that aren't, you know, necessarily, you know,
extremes.
Yeah, there aren't, you know, everything's not an extreme. You know, at the end of the day, do you want someone coming out of a sexual encounter with you feeling the way that woman did?
Right. It also changes,
and I don't think anyone does. And so that's why paying attention to people and caring about whether or not they're enthusiastically consenting to sex with you is important.
Yeah. And it's like, you don't have to come at it either from, like, a negative point of view. You can be like, hey, listen, if you want to have good sex with a person, these are some of the good things you can do in order to have it. You know, it's like, listen to the person, you know, pick up on their social clues. If they're not interested in it, you know, and, you know, I guess some guys feel like, you know, if I just kind of wear them down, you know, and it seems kind of like that's kind of what Aziz did. It was like, if I wear her down, she'll, you know, submit.
Yeah. Is bad sex assault, though?
No, it's not. And no one is saying that it is. And people are, you know, basically, no one is saying that bad sex is sexual assault. But except for the people who are saying, oh, people are saying that bad sex is sexual assault. They're the only people that are saying that.
Because they want to destroy the conversation.
Yeah, because they want it to all go away. And so they
it's whataboutism.
Like, they go to the extreme, like, oh, look at these horrible feminists saying this. Oh, they've gone too far this time. And every whenever anyone says anything, it's, oh, they've gone too far this time. You know, and that's...
We get that a lot.
Yeah, we get it every day.
Every day. We've gone so far, I've been to the moon and back.
Well, part of it is maybe, and you were pointing this out before we started taping, is that Aziz Ansari may be making things hard on himself because he put out a whole book on dating.
Yeah, like, he put out a book on dating. He presented himself as this guy who was like, hey,
the
other guys,
doctor.
Let's not, well, hey, other guys, let's not be douchebags. Let's, you know. Work on this, and then, you know, when someone does that and then, you know, turns around and is really crappy to someone in that way, it's anger-inducing because it's hypocritical, and I can understand why she felt that way, because I felt that way with, you know.
But it's really interesting that we are so happy to give celebrities the benefit of the doubt when it comes to advice on love and dating and sex.
Which is insane, because, you know...
Well, because they feel like they've been successful, so why wouldn't you listen to somebody who's successful?
People come up to Mark and I, and they ask us for relationship advice, because Mark and I have been in a relationship for a long time.
Yeah.
And I said, I know a lot about being married to Mark Felian. That's what I'm an expert on. But in terms of, like,
you're
finding...
expert on getting lucky.
Well, in the next resort of finding people, I can only just give you, like, my opinion, my reflections on it, and hopefully you'll find use of that. But it's like, I find most sex advice columnists, and even Dr. Ruth Westheimer, just totally off-putting self little miss know-it-alls, you know?
It's okay, like, but I love Dr. Oh Sue. I love
Dr.
Her
Ruth.
No, Dr. Sue. Sue. Dr. Sue Johansson. Talk
I don't know
with
her
Sue,
at all.
Sue Johansson.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. She used to have this show on, like, I think it was Lifetime, and she would give out sex advice, and she was just the greatest lady. Oh, my God, I love her. She would just talk about, like, gently stroking the inner aspect of your thigh, and she was, like, 90 years old and so badass.
I'll have to look
at her.
The grapefruit lady, sweet, oh, I'm blanking out on her name. She did this video that went viral where she cut a grapefruit. and said to warm it up in the microwave oven and not too hot, don't make it too hot because it'll burn your man's dick.
And I recognize,
you use the grapefruit to give the guy a citrus scented blowjob.
And then she kind of pretends to give a blowjob, but she makes so much noise during it. You're like, this has got to be a fake. She was 100% serious.
Angel's her name.
I believe she lives in Chicago.
I don't even
know. Auntie Angel. She's hilarious and fabulous. Oh. And this is, you know, I like that kind of sex advice person who's like, gives you some practical tips, you know? And to me, it's like, from what I've read about, you know, and I'm not going to say any names, but because, you know, we're all part of a community of media people, but I find that sometimes, like, sex advice columnists come at common problems from a really like arrogant space, and they're not very conversational, and there's very little empathy, right?
Yeah.
They don't ask the questions like, you know, the first thing when people come with me with problems, the first thing I say, what kind of solutions have you tried?
Yeah.
Like, and there's an episode of The Simpsons where, it was, Ned Flanders's parents are beatniks and Ned Flanders is an hyperactive child and he's destroying everything in the room.
Yeah.
And they're like, we've tried nothing and we're all out of solutions. and that's what a lot of people have when it comes to, you know, the issues and maybe like, you know, with Roseanne, and we'll get to this in a second, Roseanne, the reboot, and Aziz Ansari, and a lot of these topics, the common thread is that we're sort of like isolated from each other in the world. We don't spend a lot of time just interacting with each other face to face. Like, you and I are lucky that we, in media, and we get to talk to people.
Yeah.
For somewhat of a living. But for most people, you know, they go to work, they do their job, and then they're on their smartphone or on Netflix, and that's it.
Well, I mean, I work from home, so, like, I will go, like, days without talking to another human being.
So I'm the first human being you've seen this month.
Yes, yes.
I have feelings,
too. No, you're the second human... You are the second and third human beings I've seen today.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Good for you.
You haven't left the house till you came here?
Nope.
Wow, not even to smoke?
No, I smoke in my apartment.
Okay.
So, you know, this, what is it? You describe this as a phenomena. I don't know if this appeals to it, but Munchausen by internet.
Well, that was another thing. That was referring to it.
The other people you're fighting.
Making yourself sick.
Well, no, it's because people, you know, start diagnosing themselves. The thing that I was talking about earlier, which was Morgellons. People go on the internet to diagnose themselves rather than go to a doctor and then get really like set on this diagnosis and interact in these communities with people where they're all like, yes, we also have this imaginary internet disease. And it becomes part of their seriously, part of their identity.
Mm-hmm. What is Morgellons and where did it come from? What is it?
So, okay. So basically, it's the thing that Joni Mitchell says she has. That's how most people know what it is.
Okay.
So it's like anti-vaxxer for infection, skin infections.
Like it's basically once upon a time, this, you know, concerned mom, it's always a mom, saw these, you know, scabs or something on her kid. And then she was like, oh, my God, there are fibers coming out of it, you know, because sometimes
like an alien growth or something.
She was like, oh my God, what even is this? And she looked it up, and she looked up something from the 18th century about a disease children had called the Morgellons that involved coarse hairs coming out of their back. And so this is not that disease. This is one that she decided existed herself.
Mm-hmm.
And then all these other people were like, I too have this disease. And so it's been going on for a long time, and it keeps, you know, getting all these other, symptoms mm-hmm. along with it, where it's like,
and also,
yeah, so like it's all these people self-diagnosing themselves. According to the CDC, the fibers are literally fibers, like from clothing,
from like your wool socks, get caught in your scab,
and
so it looks like it's growing out there, but actually it's just, you know, it's engrossed in your scab, your white blood cells, and all that kind of stuff,
and
just
so
dried up there.
So when you get an injury, the wound is sticky, and so the fibers in your clothing is gonna stick to it.
I remember being a kid and having some
scabs
and something getting caught in there and thinking like it was kind of weird, but I never knew I could have pretended I had this whole disease.
But like,
hasn't it evolved though too, where people feel like they've got bugs underneath their skin or something?
Yeah, that's a part of it too. And you know, there are all these people that take pictures of their fibers. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, I wouldn't have a problem with it if it weren't people also diagnosing their children with this. And then also the cures being things that are very, very not good for you, like drinking colloidal silver, which will turn your skin blue and is a poison.
I love that dude that looks like a Smurf.
But yeah, but that's why he looks like
he was contemplated it. When I was a drag queen and blue was my color, I did for a minute contemplate doing that myself.
Well, because like he's permanently blue,
yeah.
Right?
He died, I believe.
There's no going back, right?
He was on Oprah.
And did he do it because he was a Morlock or no?
No. I don't remember why he did it. I just remember him being on TV.
That was a big thing, like colloidal silver to cure you of all sorts of stuff. And you can do it, like it's still a thing. Small amounts, but it's, right?
Because silver is an antibacterial.
But it's not. Yeah. There are better things to do it with it that are not poison. And like you, as a non-doctor type person, really don't know what you're doing when it comes to this stuff. And it's that, and it's drinking borax and like all of this.
Mm-hmm. Weird stuff.
Weird stuff that people feel like really
the Tide Pods
kids.
Of the 90s.
Yeah. Eat your Tide Pods and carry more yelling.
It's interesting, like, you know, with this, it's like I posted the Tide Pod story of kids, you know, two or three kids eating Tide Pods, those little packets of laundry detergent, just to see what it would feel like to bite on them. Because they are freaky. And, you know, as a teenager, I'm sure you would be obsessed with it to the point, you know, kids put anything in their mouths. And even if it's poison, that's why you have the word poison on the bottle, you know, so the kids don't drink it. And the kids still drink it, even have a skull and crossbones. And suddenly they're like making these news stories and everyone's like, those stupid kids deserve to die. It's, you know, Darwin's law and stuff. And I'm like, these are kids, are brothers and children of sisters of people who love them and they don't deserve to die just because they'd made a bad decision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also, you know, there was another thing that came out where it was like, most of the people eating Tide Pods are actually adults. And a lot, this is the thing. It's not like, you know, adults like us. It's people who have, like, dementia or people who have Alzheimer's and, you know, or can't otherwise care for them, have, like, issues with
that. Can I tell you a story?
It's not, you know, just like, oh, hey, I'm an adult person.
Yeah.
I think I'll try this delicious looking Tide Pod.
Can I tell you a story? You know? I think it was a laundry detergent that has lemon. I'm sorry, not laundry, dishwashing soap. Mm-hmm. That, you know, was like, has 10% real lemon juice in it.
Oh,
right?
yeah.
Wasn't it?
That was very popular back in the day.
Not Cascade, but it was one of those, like Dawn or something.
Yeah.
So they introduced it to the market in Puerto Rico, but they didn't translate any of their promotional materials into Spanish. And so they were giving away free samples in the mail to everybody in Puerto Rico with a giant, you know, basically a bottle with a bunch of lemons on it.
Oh,
and the dishwashing liquid smelled like lemons, was yellow in color. So all these Puerto Ricans got sick because they couldn't read the label and they thought it was lemon juice.
Oh my God. That's like the Nestle thing, but not like deliberately cruel.
What's Nestle in the baby formula?
Yeah,
or what?
Yeah.
What was the deal? They had baby formula poison kids in the third world?
Well, what it is, they were, you know, and they, I believe they still do this. They advertise baby formula in countries where infants cannot drink the water.
Mm.
You know, and so they're basically being like, poison your children. This is a great idea.
Oh, because you have to mix the formula with water.
So, you know, we live in very conflicted times and people are like sort of, you know, they see people making bad decisions and they're quick to judge them. And I think, you know, for me, it's distressing to see young people instead of, you know, I came of age when I would go to an ACT UP meeting. I was 18 years old and I would see these adults fighting for their lives because they were dealing with the AIDS crisis. And these people were screaming at each other over the color of a poster or what t-shirts to make or where to have the next action. They would stay in the room.
Yeah.
And, you know, these meetings would go on for 4 or 5 hours. These are people who are not only dealing with, you know, advanced stages of HIV, but they also had jobs to deal and lives to live. And for them, it was so important to get the job done, to move forward. And to me, seeing this idea of that you excommunicate somebody because they have made a mistake or they're terrible people for any reason. It's like, would Captain EO want to solve that problem that way?
I mean, I think there are a couple different ways of looking at this. I think the idea that people are, you know, being excommunicated from things for, like, you know, minuscule things, and that everyone is agreeing to this. Because I think sometimes when someone says, well, I'm done with you forever, people automatically hear, well, everyone hates me now. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that's a very, very human thing to do and feel. You know, I think that the best thing that, you know, people can do is when, you know, also be more considerate in a way when that happens to them. Don't go, oh, well, now everyone thinks this of me, because that's not fair to the general everyone. But, you know, also, but
it was good to get Harvey Weinstein out of the picture.
Yeah, no, it was, because this is the, you know, because
he was a tyrant.
He was a tyrant. He was ruining women's careers. Yeah. He was ruining women's lives. Mm-hmm. He doesn't need to be there. There are women who can do that job. Mm-hmm. And, you know,
it was a long time coming.
Yeah. Like, no, he needs to go away. He doesn't need to die. He doesn't need, you know. He probably should have gone to jail for some of the things that he's done, but we're not sending him to jail. He's going to a lovely, you know, spa. resort, rehab, whatever that is. I don't know what kind of rehab you need to be like, hey, don't put your dick inside people who do not want, or don't, you know, show people your dick if they don't want to see it. Especially at that age. Mm-hmm. But
like, oh, you're being ageist,
like,
now.
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, if you're 80 years old and you're like, however old he is, I don't know. And if you're like, I'm not sure it's a bad idea to show my penis.
Well, I think that's part of the reason why he did it, right? He wanted to be humiliated.
Yeah, maybe.
In some degree,
yeah.
Right?
Wasn't the thing about 50 Shades of Grey that never got right is that the CEO was always in charge and he was always humiliating his female assistant, right?
Was it? Yeah. I don't. Was it,
50 Shades of Grey.
Secretary, personal assistant, whatever.
But, like, yeah. Well,
but in real life, usually the CEOs love to be tied up in bondage,
yeah,
and humiliated, mm-hmm, and pissed on. And,
but the one thing that I do know about 50 Shades of Grey is that it's not, the woman in it isn't doing it because that is what she is super into. She's submitting to it because she loves him so much. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, someone wrote something a while ago about how, oh, this will probably be the last sexy movie ever. And it was like, are we going to get rid of all the sexy movies now? What about the sexy movies? And I'm like, you know what? It's actually really easy to do a feminist version of that. And it would be like, one of the big criticisms of
50
Shades of Grey from, like, the BDSM community was that, like, no, this is actually very much about consent. And, like, we're, mm-hmm, really, we feel importantly about it. And it's actually, you know, the submissives who's in charge to some degree, and you're allowed to, you know,
say no.
Yeah.
And that's what they say. It's like, that's
communication
why
the
submissive,
yeah, is
but
really
the appeal
important.
Of Twilight and the appeal of 50 Shades of Grey with American women says something.
I don't think it does, because I think, like, fantasy, I think people are allowed to explore things, mm-hmm, in their fantasies that they don't necessarily want to happen to them in real life.
Because it's about giving up control in some, yeah, ways in your fantasy. And,
yeah,
you know, and submitting to something like that too. And I believe the author, isn't she raised Mormon? So,
yeah,
she probably,
yeah,
instilled some of her weird, like, obey your man kind of stuff, even though it's something you might not like. But if you love him, you need,
yeah,
to stand with him kind of garbage, right?
And the thing is, there's a totally, you know, very feminist way of doing a movie like that.
Mm.
And all it is it would just be, it's what she wants and not what she's doing for him because she loves him, mm-hmm, you know, and, like, she's doing it because, mm-hmm, that's what she's into. Because
that's something you write about, too, like, a lot, is, like, you know, feminists actually enjoy sex.
Yeah.
You,
yeah,
know? And it's like, they make it like these, what do you, you're called, they're called, that's another people you fight with is, or you write about, is the incels. And you, I didn't,
well,
even,
yeah,
know what they,
what's an incel? Involuntary celibate.
Involuntary, yeah, celibate. So this is, tell us a little bit about these,
well,
incels.
I haven't been bothering with them much since they were kicked off of Reddit, but,
because they had a whole subreddit, right?
Yeah.
And it was all about dragging women because they wouldn't have sex with men. Or they're obsessed with like women having sex with alpha males, and they're just like a beta male, so they'll never get to spawn.
Oh, no, they consider themselves omega males. It's a whole different thing.
Omega?
But, yeah, as because in, like, they're at the bottom vitamins? Of the barrel. And the difference, there's an important difference between them and just someone who is, you know, not good at dating or is, you know, has trouble getting, you know, having a relationship. It's that they, you know, go online and commiserate with each other and talk about how rape should be legal and how, like,
yikes,
women should be murdered for wearing leggings in public. And
so they're fashion police.
Yeah. And they, you know, they've all got,
these
got all
these straight pictures. Men?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, no, because you're showing off your body to men who, and then not letting them have sex with you. Because they're really, really severely angry. They worship Elliot Rodger and other.
Who's that?
That guy who went on a shooting spree to murder women.
Oh, my God.
Because the Isla Vista murders.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
I kind of remember that story.
Yeah, because he couldn't get a girlfriend. And they're, you know, they call him Saint Elliot. And it's really, really, really toxic.
Yeah, I could imagine.
Yeah, it's they're terrifying. Not
also, they're also known as Trump supporters.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's some overlap.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think there's a lot of overlap in, you know, certainly a lot of overlap between, like, you know, the manosphere and the, mm-hmm. you know, and the Trump supporters. They're basically the same dudes.
And what kind of women are in the incel organization? Because there's got to be
women aren't allowed.
Few.
Okay.
What? None of
okay.
None
women
at all?
Aren't allowed in that particular kind okay. of incel community. There's, there are involuntary celibate communities. Like, I think Forever Alone is one of them. Don't laugh. But, you know, like, people do have, you know, I can understand how it's, like,
well,
heartbreaking.
That's an internet
too.
Meme, yeah. isn't it? Like, Forever Alone, there's, a, like, a little sad face that goes with it.
Oh, okay.
Right?
I haven't seen it.
Well, it's part of it is, like, you know, we get a lot of people commenting on our social media. They're like, I'm forever alone, single and stuff. And I'm like, well, it's not that you're forever alone. It's just that the people that you want to connect with don't want to connect with you. But there's plenty of people who do want to connect with you. You're just saying no to those people.
Yeah.
And so you have to negotiate with yourself, and you're not willing to negotiate, and that's part of the issue.
Yeah.
You're inflexible.
But, like, I, you know,
you're not listening to other people.
Yeah. But I do think that, like, you know, there are people who feel like they didn't, you know, go through the normal developmental steps of dating and feel left behind. And I, you know, there are people who are, you know, like the 40-year-old virgin and whatnot. And I think that those people absolutely deserve compassion. And I'm glad that, you know, there are people who are working on it and, like, trying to cope. And then there are, like, the toxic bad people. And, you know, the
it's someone who takes their personal
ones.
Pain
yeah.
and turns it into political mm-hmm. policy.
Yeah. Well, it's not. Yeah.
It's basically. Like we should pass a law that everyone needs to give me a blowjob every week.
And they something do like that, consider you know? Laws like
that.
Was, like,
that was Hitler's yeah. basically platform. I mean, you know, in some ways, like, I think was it Holly Hughes in the book Angry Women said that that's what her definition of fascism was, is that when you took your personal pain and suffering that you had gone through and you wanted to the government to pass laws that prevented that from happening forever. Yeah. And, you know, in some ways, like, well, this is interesting. So Roseanne, is being rebooted. And it's going to be on ABC television again. And Sarah Gilbert, Melissa Gilbert's sister and the talk show host, is sort of behind bringing the project back to life. And, you know, since the years Roseanne went off the air, we've discovered that Roseanne Barr, the actor, the comedian behind the Roseanne, our lovable TV show feminist from the 90s, is an asshole.
Yeah.
Is nuts.
Yeah.
Literally, didn't she have a reality TV show that says Roseanne Barr?
Well, it's because she
nuts.
Had a,
macadamia nut farm.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're casting Roseanne and her husband as Trump supporters. And you have quite a bit to say about that.
Well, here's the thing. I would be totally here for a Darlene show. I would be really into that. Why don't we just have the Darlene show? It's not that I'm opposed to, you know, that conflict being portrayed on air. Because they're like, oh, you know, we want to show there are people and families that are, Trump supporters and, you know, normal human beings with compassion. It's that the character, the flip for the character of Roseanne to become a Trump supporter is straight up propaganda. And it's a classic, classic form of propaganda where it's like, I stood for all of these things and cared about them, and now I reject them because I was, you know, and that's what
betrayed
she's
by the Democrats.
Yeah. Well, because, like, you know, what's the idea actual that, Roseanne
what
Connor.
What is the idea that the propaganda is trying to get us to accept?
Well, that it's basically a very, okay. You know, it's like the Sprint guy who used to be the Verizon guy going, oh, I used to be a Verizon guy, but now I've discovered something even better, and it's Sprint.
Mm-hmm.
And
after I waited the 7 years after my contract ran out and I could finally get a job doing something else.
Yeah. And like previous Roseanne's, you know, positions, political positions and stances, and the fact that she was a feminist on the show and that she was against tax cuts for the rich on the show, and that she was again, you know, for, you know, gay people, maybe like not trans people because she is extremely transphobic, but you know, she was, and she was anti-racist. And when she had biases, she thoughtfully
confronted them. They like changed.
Yeah.
She grew as a human being. And so now here we are, like this person that did so much development is now a Trump supporter. And you're kind of like, where did this come from?
And it's a classic propaganda tool where this person with authority in this area is now like, as it turns out, grabbing women by the pussy without their consent is fantastic. Mm. More of that, please. Mm-hmm. I was wrong.
Mm-hmm. And well, I think so what does Roseanne really believe in her real life is that basically, like, I don't know, like, both parties are the same or something
no,
like that.
No, she's a super big Trump supporter now, and, like, super alt-right is the thing. Like, not even, like, she's more in, like...
And she's one of those people that kind of came from, like, not much of anything, made a lot of money, and it was just like, I did it, why can't everybody else do it?
Roseanne,
I'm not willing to, you know, suck people's dicks in parking lots after comedy shows, because that's, you know, she worked as a sex worker.
If you suck dicks in a parking lot,
that,
you know,
like,
it's still luck, though. I could suck all the dicks I want in the parking lot sometimes. Yeah. I do.
No, you know. She was incredibly talented.
Yeah, yeah.
I loved her. I looked up to her like crazy when I was a kid. She was my hero.
Well, the reason why I also bring that up, too, is because it's one of my favorite jokes that she ever said. She goes, when you're a sex worker, the nice thing about giving a blowjob is like, you know when it's over. But when you're eating ass, like, you don't know. You're like, am I done yet?
And part of it is like, you know, and you were saying we've always kind of known that Roseanne is off the rails to some degree. It's just that we've had the internet and even Roseanne herself to sort of convince us of that or nail that point home all these years after the show went off the air. You were saying that she believed that she had repressed memories of being sexually assaulted by her parents.
Yeah, I believe that was it. I remember there was a whole like falling out with her sister and everything, and the sister was like, that didn't happen. Mm-hmm. And, you know, later on, I don't know about her specific instance, and I'm not going to say, you know, what did or did not happen to her. I'm not an authority on that. Mm-hmm. A lot of the repressed memory stuff turned out to be psychological mumbo jumbo, and like they were telling people that it was like the psychiatrist taking horrible advantage of people.
Mm-hmm. And it happened like in the 80s and 90s, right?
Yeah, people that, like, during the Satanic Panic.
The Satanic Panic, people had these ideas that their parents were like, you know, they were Satan worshippers and they were involved in all sorts of like black masses.
Yeah,
and, like,
yeah.
They've seen like human sacrifices and also, you know, and then people had abuse and then they just, you know, they forgot about it. But then through therapy, we're able to remember it.
There were actually like just this year, a few people were finally let out of prison that were in there for like these wacky satanic panic reasons. Like they didn't, you know, the same thing as the McMartin trial, except for like they actually went to jail. Weird thing I discovered rediscovered, you know, like James Woods is all like Pizzagate, spirit cooking. There's, you know.
So, oh, he's a Trump supporter too, right?
Yeah, but like in the, oh yeah, all the liberal Democrats are Satanists who are doing satanic child molestation things.
And he was so nice with Dolly Parton in Straight Talk.
But
he had some good acting roles.
Yeah, no, he was a fabulous actor.
It's but such he was a shame in he lost millions from Bernie Madoff too.
Yeah,
right?
but he was actually it's this huge irony to me because he was actually in an HBO movie about the McMartin trial. Like that was the one.
What was the McMartin trial?
McMartin trial was during the daycare abuse hysteria, satanic panic thing. This family ran a daycare center, and one kid with a mother who tended towards fabulosity, we've discovered later, the mother came forward and was like, my kid, says that these people molested him. So then all these other parents are coming forward, and there was this thing, I think it was called the Children's Institute. I'm not sure on that. Did this whole thing with these dolls and basically convinced these kids that they had been sexually molested by these people. And there were all these stories about, oh yeah, there are underground tunnels. They flew us to other countries to be molested. Like that could not have happened because there's no way you're getting to Mexico and back in, the span of however long you're at daycare for. But they were, the story just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And the trial lasted for 7 years. It was horrible. And then it also turned into, they were all chanting and wearing black cloaks and, killing babies in churches. And it was all fake. And these people's lives were ruined. It was horrible.
And James Wood was in a movie about this.
Yeah, he was in a movie about that in which he played the lawyer that finally got them off. And I'm I just find it to be this incredible irony that clearly you know about this shit and that it is bullshit. And yet now you're all oh yeah, no, satanic child molestation, totally a thing. And it's
so
horrifying.
Should we give, Roseanne, I think, is going to be on TV just next week, right?
Is it coming up?
Yeah. Pretty soon. At least watch the first episode
that show when it first was on the
air. People are going to watch it. I know a lot of people who say they're not going to watch it are going to watch it. And there's a gender nonconforming child that's, I guess, Sarah Gilbert's son. Child that doesn't identify as male or female is going to be a regular character. And in some ways, they're sort of, retconning Roseanne to being sort of an Archie Bunker.
Yeah. It makes me so angry because I looked up to her so much.
She was the domestic goddess. Yeah.
But this happens with a lot of family members. We do have family members that we love. And as they go older, sometimes they fall off the deep end. I had a family member who was one of the most progressive people who was arguing for gay rights before I even came out of the closet. And now, I don't know if it's illness. I don't know. It's isolation. They turn into this really right wing wackadoodle person who's Fausto's is going to die and go to hell and all this stuff.
Maybe the marketers for the show or something just helped make that decision, thinking that this is how we get that audience and make her a Trump supporter, because otherwise they'll all just hate her.
Well, in some ways,
but that's who
Star
she is
Trek.
Now in real life, yeah. Also. Yeah.
And it's hard to separate those two things, and then maybe that's why a lot of actors don't go on talk shows talking about their political affiliations. That's why we never knew about James Wood's thoughts and ideas until somewhat his acting career was, laid to rest.
I think he actually, I don't think that he was, I think this is a fairly recent development.
It's been a change. Because he was in contact with Jodie Foster.
Yeah,
he was a villain in that movie.
I mean, he was also in Mississippi. That she he played the villain in Mississippi Burning, and
the premise of Contact, right? Jodie Foster uncovers a secret code from aliens.
Yeah, I knew it was
that builds
alien
a ship that allows us as human beings to send one person out into outer space to meet with the aliens, and she meets with them, comes back to Earth, but the trip was instantaneous, and so they don't know if it ever happened at all. But the point is,
But the tape she had ran for 18 minutes.
But if you, if you go on a long trip, even when I go out to the suburbs, I have to use the bathroom. She had to pee. Yeah. She was wearing diapers. I know she had to poop, at least.
She's only gone 18 minutes.
No, she was the trip was really long.
No.
Yeah.
No, it was only 18 minutes. Cause they
I think it was 18 hours.
No.
But it had only, yeah, I think that was the whole point of the thing, was that it was instantaneous, but it took a long time. And I was just like, it wasn't 18 minutes, it was 18 hours of footage that the thing had recorded.
Anyways, she would have had a longer conversation with her father had it been 18 hours.
Now I have to watch this movie.
Okay. Oh, it's a good movie.
The way I remember it, and this is why I thought about this, is like, because I actually did a status update about it, and it was like, didn't she have to take a shit or, you know, pee or something? It's like,
Jodie Foster eats her own poop.
Well, astronauts wear diapers, and yeah. I'm sure she had diapers, and I'm sure when she got back to Earth, there was poop all over it. Yeah. And maybe they thought she shat all over herself, but, you know, you could do an exam on the poop and say, this poop has gone through her gut. You know, she had corn before she got on the ship, and now there's corn in her diapers, you know? These are the aspects of contact that, and James L. Woods was behind the cover up. Should we give Roseanne Barr a break? Should we weigh on see what the show is going to be like, or just like pass on it?
I mean, I think
because I know most people are going to watch it anyways.
I mean, I think I will probably watch the first episode for like work purposes, but sure. It's like I don't want like.
You don't want to encourage people to reward this kind of behavior.
Exactly. And, like, sure. I also don't feel like it's necessarily, like, the word, like, yes, she's been horrible to feminists and because she hates us now. Mm. But she's also, like, said, like, really, really horrible things about trans people. And, like, I don't know that it's, like, my place to be, like, it's not my place to be, like, oh, I forgive you, you know.
Right. You're not going to be dancing in your Captain EO shirt, like, in front of Roseanne Barr sending rainbows her way.
Well, no, here's the thing. I absolutely believe that we need to make room for people to change and to allow them to change. Because otherwise, what the hell are we doing anyway?
It's the crucible.
But at the same time, but like, you know, we always need to make room for people to change and we need to allow that. And we, like, I want people to, you know, work to change. It's a lot of hard work and it takes a lot of, you know, understanding and compassion, and it can't be like instantaneous, like, oh, I'm okay now.
But it seems like we want our celebrity, we love our entertainers, and when we see our entertainers do or say or reveal to do horrible people, we want them to quickly heal so we can get back to business as usual. Mm-hmm. Of, you know, entertain me.
Well, I mean, to a degree, but like, for Roseanne, I feel like genuinely repulsed by her now. And it's like, it's hard for me to enjoy that because I'm like,
It'll be interesting to see how it's handled, because it's like, she's going to be the Trump supporter. What about her husband? Because I guess he's back from the dead.
Yeah, I know he is too.
Oh, he's going to be a Trump supporter as well. And then, what happened to their loose meat restaurant? And then, of course, like, is
winning the lottery.
Is Darlene going to be like, is she going to be like the anti-Trump person?
She's the progress. Yeah. You know, and Jackie. Like,
yeah.
In fact, in the first episode, Jackie's wearing
Aunt Jackie so much.
Lori Metcalf's amazing. And which
favorite.
Which one of the older sisters are they going to use? Are they using both?
They're using the first one, and then the second one is going to be another character.
Oh, wow.
And
freaky.
So Jackie, in the first episode, she has a pink, you know,
pink pussy
pink hat.
Yeah.
Pussy hat. The pussy, they're calling it the pussy hats.
But they're like with cat ears.
Yeah.
And so there's, one news story that, and this is why we need, let the buyer beware, be a little skeptical, mm-hmm. a little conciliatory, a little loving and healing. Put your Captain EO shirt on. Send the rainbows out into the world, because there's this new story. The Women's March is about inclusivity. It's saying anyone can argue for equality, and we need to listen to women, and we need to listen to all kinds of women. Yeah. Including trans women.
Yeah, of course.
And so some divisive groups are saying, oh, they're getting rid of the pink hats because it's transphobic. Because not all women have pussies.
And
no one is getting rid of the pink hats. No one's making that argument. This is a complete bullshit story. Completely made up. And people are sharing it left and right and buying it hook, line, and sinker.
Because what it is, it's like done by people who want to make trans women the enemy. And it's like people who take, you know, a certain, you know, argument that makes sense and is totally reasonable to its most outlandish conclusion and then accuse, you know, mm-hmm. like, oh, look at these people. They're arguing. It's like a bad game of telephone that is incredibly obvious.
They're trying to get the infighting happening. Yeah. They're trying to, like, take women that, like, they don't really know about this thing or don't understand. I'm like, oh, trans women are now the enemy because they're taking away our pussy hats.
Exactly. So, and it's, like, it's meant to do that because they don't want, because they want what they want and they want to be trans exclusionary. And so how do we do that? We make these women seem unreasonable.
So Twitter just announced today that they're developing tools to let their users know if they've been exposed to Russian propaganda, which has left some people saying, what about letting people know they've just been exposed to propaganda in general?
Everything is propaganda to a degree. I do propaganda, you do propaganda, we all do propaganda to a degree.
I guess they're saying that they want people to be able to know that a certain piece of information was pushed up by certain sources and make that more transparent. And I think that's good, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think that people in general need to do the work of being better media consumers and critics themselves.
That's like telling people to eat healthy when there's no supermarkets nearby.
No, agreed. But I do think, you know, to a degree that, you know, yes, it matters, especially when it's stuff that is made up. Like, it matters when it's stuff that's made up that's changing people's opinions. If it's an actual news story that is being played up more, I'm not...
Like Oprah running for president. Oprah never said that. Her speech
people
was like...
People joked about it, and then other people... people joked, like, yes, Oprah for president. And then other people reacted being like, they want Oprah to be president. And it was ridiculous.
Oprah's speech was, we need to listen to women.
Yeah, and no one was listening to her. But this is the thing. People weren't actually... So basically what happened is that Oprah gave this good speech, and then, you know, and someone made a joke about, like, you know, your next president. I didn't actually watch it, but
I watched it. It was a good speech. Yeah.
I didn't watch the jokey part that happened because I watched the clip of it. And then, you know, some people on Twitter were joking like, yes, Oprah for president. You know, that would be like, you know, mostly because I think at this point everyone would take, you know, an end table over Donald Trump. Would start looking
We're starving good. For inspiration. We're starving for coherency.
Or for someone who's, you know, just not an actual monster. And I think that other people saw that and then were like, oh my God, they're very, very literal and serious about this and want Oprah to be president. And somehow it's like a game of telephone. It turned into that. And then people were like, well, I don't think Oprah should be president. And then other people were like, maybe Oprah could be president. And it kept, like, you know, ratcheting up to, like, you know, a thing that made an argument that did not need to be had by anyone for any reason.
And this week, I guess President Trump announce his awards.
It's highly anticipated, the fake news awards. So I thought it was
first annual, I guess.
And so basically, you know, they first launched it on the GOP.com, but it crashed. Like, nobody could read it. So it's finally back up a few hours later. They got it together. And so it's a lot of picayune stuff. So it's like, they reported this, but this didn't really actually happen. So, like, the top one is...
But they're all retracted. The thing is, they were all stories that were quickly retracted.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, there's a difference between... You know, a news organization making a mistake and a news organization being like, we're going to deliberately lie about you because we are evil. Yeah, yeah. And that's what he's trying to present the news media as doing, which is, like, you know, extremely like Stalinist, quite frankly, because he's like trying to destroy the free press. Like, that what he wants is for people to not trust the press so that when he does something terrible, they don't believe it. That's the goal there.
You know, that's the thing, is like, I've noticed it, really truly awful people hate reporters, they hate journalists, they hate podcasters, because, you know, for the most part, you know, people like us, we're just trying to figure out what's the truth, what's happening, what is our existence, what's the meaning of life. You know, we're asking questions. You know, we don't always have the answers to these questions. I'm not out to get anybody, but, like, you know, people that are up to no good, they're just like
Yeah.
But that, it's interesting, you know, because you know, the people who like Mark sometimes don't like me. And the people who like me definitely like Mark, too, you know, because
you ask harder questions sometimes, I think, is what it is.
But I also have
I love both of you equally.
Oh, she winked at me.
I winked towards the lamp. I winked in the middle.
The lamp. It was traitor lamp.
Well, no, I can only wink with this eye and I'm not very good at it anyway.
So like number six is like some of these things like he's like CNN falsely edited a video to make it appear like President Trump defiantly overfed a fish during a visit with the Japanese prime minister, but the Japanese prime minister actually led the way with the feeding. So I guess the prime minister, I guess, did throw like a bunch of the food in. And so Trump did the same, you know, and it's like, but could you imagine Barack Obama, you know, Bush,
anyone.
Clinton, any person, any of these, any president doing something like
this? Well, they were aghast for years because Obama said something about like, you know, Fox News, you know, not being super, you know, people being biased because they only watch Fox News or something like that. I don't know.
You're less informed if you watch Fox News than if you don't watch any news at all.
Yeah. I don't know if he said that, but that was a study.
Sure.
And people were furious about it because it was like, you know, attacking their, you know, golden god in a way.
Well, and like some of these are just kind of like, who cares? Like CNN falsely reported that former FBI director James Comey would dispute president's claim that he is not under investigation. It's like, I don't even know what that means.
Well, basically what it was their source told them something.
Yeah.
And then James Comey ended up not doing that thing. Like that was all that happened. The source said, I believe James Comey is going to do this thing. And then James Comey didn't do the thing. That's not, you know, a false report. You're reporting on what the person says.
Right.
And they're speculating. You can't, you know, literally report on a future event and, with factual accuracy.
And number 11, I think, and this is really golden here, is like, and last but not least, Russia collusion, all in caps and in quotation. Russian collusion is perhaps the greatest hoax perpetrated on the American people. There is no collusion. And which makes me, if you have to put there is no collusion in all caps, makes me want to think there's collusion. You know, and now he's got, like, people are saying right now he's entertaining that guy from, like, Kazakhstan, I think it is. And it's like this guy's a multi-billionaire who has, like, billions of dollars, like, hidden all over the world, Swiss bank accounts. And they say he has funneled, like, lots of money through the Trump empires.
Yeah.
Our money laundering president. He's about to get rid but he can allow for doctors and nurses to deny service to someone who's HIV positive through religious bigotry.
A variety of things, really. Yeah. One of the, you know, it's LGBT people. It's people who are HIV positive. It's also women in case, you know, one of their big example was, oh, what if someone is forced to perform an abortion against their will, which, you know, is a thing that's really not going to be required of you unless you know how to perform an abortion.
Well, part of it is like, if you don't want to do your job because of religious convictions, you're probably in the wrong job.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Don't have that job. You know, a Jehovah's Witness should not be a hematologist.
Because they don't believe in blood transfusions, right?
That's what killed Prince. Should avoid the,
Did you know about this little allegory story? Prince, the entertainer, was a really short man. And, you know, a lot of men who are short, especially heterosexual men, hate being short. There's done studies that women sexually prefer taller men.
And when men look at, like, at the, or I think men and women, when they look at their romantic rivals, one of the things that they're most jealous of their romantic rival is if they're taller. So shorter people are usually jealous of somebody if they're taller and they're competing for the same person.
Oh, not short girls. Short girls are usually pretty happy to be short girls
because
they have like
guys.
A, you know, more to, you know, I think the whole theory is that if you're, you know, a tall guy, you have more people to choose from. If you're a short girl, you have more people to choose from.
We all know, and I was always shocked when I would meet family members or women that I knew who would wake up in the morning and put on a full face of makeup and wear it throughout the day. And at the end of the day, they would wash it all off and do that ritual every single day. And they would not be allowed people to see them. They would not leave the house.
Oh.
If they didn't have full mascara, eyeliner, lipstick, blush, rouge, foundation.
Quite a few women like that.
And Prince was a lot like that. He would wake up in the morning and he would put on his high heel shoes, basically, to wear around the house. A consequence that a lot of drag queens, if you talk to drag queens that have been around for quite some time, is that wearing those high heel shoes are really bad for your knees, your ankles,
and your back,
and especially your hips. And so Prince, like Jackie B, needed a double hip replacement surgery. And he is a Jehovah's Witness. And when you get hip replacement surgery, you have to have a blood transfusion, which violated his religious tenements. As a consequence, he managed it with painkillers, which got him more and more addicted to painkillers. Until one fateful day, he passed out in an elevator where a security team could not find him, and he died that way. The moral of the story is, you know, don't have elevators in your mansion without video cameras. Mm-hmm. But also, you know, it's part of it, like, our own vanity sometimes gets the best of us. And just being able to surround yourself with the power of no.
Mm-hmm.
The power, we are so scared of hearing no, you know, and I think about this, like, that we are scared to hear it at any time, that we're willing to put ourselves in difficult situations. When someone, we don't want to hear no, but no is a beautiful word. No sometimes can get you the relationship, the job, mm-hmm. the sex that you want, because no now means yes to other new opportunities.
Yeah, exactly.
No opens doors. No is a really great thing to invite for somebody. And sometimes when you're on a date with somebody and the person's putting pressure on you to have sex with them, and you're thinking, you know, maybe I should get up and leave, you know, or you're going for a job interview and you really want to get this job. Hearing the word no is really hard, or saying the word no is really hard thing to do, because It, as Americans, we're so uncomfortable with that state of being. In fact, like, I know about this. There's no word for no in Japanese.
I don't know that that's
the true. The word for no in Japanese is not yes. You know, there's hi.
I don't know if that's really.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I understood.
I do know that the Japanese don't like. I don't like to say the word no. Like, if you, especially like you're in some kind of like office or business environment, like you have an employee, or if you're asking a woman out, she would be like, she won't just tell you no. They'll say something, so it's not no.
So I'm reading here. It's like it's very difficult for Japanese people, and they consider it rude and impolite.
They say maybe, you know, they'll say maybe, or we'll see what we can do, or let me look into that. But they won't just say, like, no.
There are 730 words for yes in Japanese, and not a single one for no.
Mm-hmm.
There's no word that perfectly is symmetrical to yes or no in English, as in hi and li in Japanese.
Yeah.
And part of that, you know, is as human beings all around the world, we really have a really difficult time. You know, and feminism is for everybody. Feminism is for you and me. It makes the world a better place.
Well, it does. And this is the thing. If men are, like, more conscientious about whether their partners are happy and having a good time, they're going to have a better time also. Like, it's not just, oh, we're the fun police, come to take your, you know, sexy movies and good, you know, bad sex away that you're super excited about, apparently.
There are the fun police, like, out there, though. They're not all feminists.
Yeah, no, they're almost never feminists. They're usually, like, crazy religious, not crazy, I'm trying to stop saying crazy, but they're usually,
I'm
like,
trying to stop deranged. Being crazy, too.
What's a better word? Because it pathologizes people with mental health issues.
And I'm trying to get out of that habit.
So what's a better way of saying somebody who's, you know,
religious bigots, really, and, you know,
Zealots,
jerks.
Arrogant.
Yeah.
Pushy.
You know, absurd, which they
unstable.
Are
unstable.
You know, I don't
ill repute.
It's not feminist. Feminists want everyone. The difference is that feminists want everyone to have a good time, and the other people are like, but what if, why can't it be okay if just the man has a good time and the woman has a terrible time? Shouldn't that just be something everyone experiences sometimes? Why are we, you know, and this whole, you know, thing where people are like, well, sometimes sex is just bad sex. And we're like, yeah, sometimes sex is just a bad time in general because you don't jive with the person or something like that. But sometimes sex is bad sex for other reasons that are worth examining. Like, you know, the man was not paying attention to whether or not you wanted it. Which does not feel very good. It makes you feel like an inanimate object, you know, which sometimes you might be into. But as long as, like, but if you're like, yes, that is what I'm into. I would like to be treated like an, you know, inanimate object.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do that. That's cool.
And just because, you know, I read 50, I'm a fan of 50 Shades of Grey, doesn't mean I want my boss peeing in my mouth.
Yeah. Does that happen in there? I don't know. I haven't heard it.
You know, it's just, and part of it is like, I want to leave this. It's like, I want people to be more skeptical about the things they read on social media. Mm-hmm. And I want people to have a conversation about things just the same way that we want consent nuance and pick up on social cues. Let's do that with each other on a wide variety of scenarios, not just sex.
And look for extremism in a lot of this stuff, too. Because, like, sometimes, like Robin was saying, is like, you know, they use this extremism as a way to, like, break down what's really supposed to be having and talk about. Like, Oprah talking about, what's happening in Hollywood and the whole Me Too movement. You know, taking that to the extreme, Oprah for president. That's not what she wanted. It's not what she asked for. It was to talk about what happened.
What are you guys' wild predictions for 2018?
Oh, I hope Trump gets impeached.
Yeah.
That's a wild prediction. Unlikely.
The scary thing is that I'm like, I don't, if he's impeached, then we have Pence. But then also we might not, you know, that will be possibly less likely to die. Because I don't think he'll be, you know, being like, hey, come bomb us, Korea. That would be a good, you know.
Because if his numbers dip any lower, he's probably going to try and, like, you know, have some terrorist attack.
Well,
or
he
something.
Said some. Didn't he say something along those lines? Like, he was hoping for, you know, it's like, well, what I see happening is like what happened with Bush, where he's even more popular because of 9/11. I'm like, yeah, I don't think we want one of those.
No, not at all.
No.
What do you think's going to happen, my dear?
I want to see a reboot of Captain EO.
Like, that's magical thinking that you're going to be able to dance the villains away.
I am here for the reboot of Living Single, and I would also like there to be a reboot of The Golden Girls.
Oh, yeah.
In 3D.
Who would the Golden Girls
with
be
drag
today?
Queens.
They
really need to do the drag queen reboot with Golden Girls.
I don't think it would have a broad appeal.
Are you kidding? If they could get Jackie Beat, Bianca Del Rio, Lady Bunny... And, you know,
broad means, you know, well, never mind. Why not, like, how big they are.
I think somehow we could get Joanna Lumley in on this, although she might not be old enough. But
are you kidding? Do you know how old?
I know, but
she's not old.
They were when they were, like, the youngest one of them at the time when they did it, I believe, was the one who
absolutely
played Blanche.
Fabulous.
And Blanche was 50 when they started filming that show.
No, wait, the youngest was actually Estelle Getty.
Estelle, she was 50.
Yeah.
But the other ones weren't that much older.
Yeah.
You know, B. Arthur may have been a bit older, but still.
So you're saying you're as old as one of the Golden Girls was when she started the show.
I didn't say that. You said that.
Thank you for being a friend.
But I actually...
Anyone from Sex and the City could be in it now, right? They're all...
Yeah,
well, that's the fan theory is that Sex and the series and the Golden Girls were the same universe. Mm-hmm. That they're just different timelines.
I think there are there's always been a lot of those shows where it's like four women who like all sort of fall into the Golden Girls paradigm.
Sure.
One's the slut, one's the naive one, what's the cynical one, and one's the smart ass.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's basically like, you know, Mary Tyler Moore show was very
much
the same
thing. I didn't watch The Golden Girls much when I first came on. My mother would watch it. Like, I'd come home and she'd be like, oh, this show is so vulgar. These women are so disgusting. Well, vulgar is a good term my mother likes to use. And now I watch it and, you know, I'm just like, oh, wow, I guess, you know.
Mark, can you tell the story about Madonna and money? That's such a great story.
It's out of context. It's weird.
He had this friend. I just want to share the story.
I used to take care of this guy. He was He was a quadriplegic, and he had a learning disability. So he was living in a group home with some other people that were, you know, had physical challenges. And we were talking about Madonna or something like that. And his mother was there to visit. She was a very nice conservative woman. She wasn't very conservative. I mean, she was, you know, she was conservative, but she was nice. She was a wonderful woman, very sweet. You know, she did smoke, but we made him smoke outside. And then somebody brought up Madonna, and she just started going, like, she was so mad. She's, ah, that Madonna. She's such a whore. She would shove money up her cooter and set it on fire if she thought she could make more money. And I was just like, I didn't know her like that. Like, I heard her say that. I'm like, I like this woman. The fact that she would just say that, you know what I mean?
Robin Panacchia, it's always a pleasure talking about these very intense topics.
Mm-hmm. It is always lovely seeing you fellas also, too.
People can follow you on social media, but Robin with a Y, and then Panacchia spelled with two N's and a C, two C's.
Okay. RobynPennacchia, but my Twitter is just Robin Elise, RobynElyse.
Mm-hmm. And you currently are writing for Wonkat.
Yes.
But you get a lot of traction on Facebook, too. You're very popular on the Facebook.
I probably do more on Twitter, but Twitter? Yeah.
All right.
One thing before we leave, you were a vampire. I guess people are frustrated because the Google find your fine art painting that looks like you isn't available in Texas or Illinois because of privacy restrictions, laws.
Biometrics, right?
Yeah.
And I guess because everyone's basically signing, like, I'll give my firstborn to Google, and when I die, all my organs belong to Google by uploading a selfie. And you managed to get a hands on a photograph of a woman that looks exactly like you.
Yeah. It's on my phone, but yeah. Actually, a friend saw it on Facebook and was like, and tagged me in it. It was just posted somewhere else and was like, Robin, I found a picture of you from 1929. This is terrifying. Like, as a joke. Mm-hmm. And I was like, and I don't, usually when people tell me I look like someone, I'm like, yeah. Because I get like everyone with brown hair.
Right.
You know, I also look like Marlo Thomas's flag of Marlo Thomas. Like, I've got brown hair and bangs. Like,
you're that girl.
Yeah, I am that girl. But that lady literally does look like me and has my poofy hair.
Mm-hmm. They say, so Donald. Donald Trump.
Donald.
Yeah, that was her boyfriend's name.
Yeah, I know.
In the show. Now he's president. Thanks, Marlo Thomas. You know, Marlo Thomas said that Free to Be You and Me was a colossal failure.
It was not.
That's what she said. I disagree.
Yeah.
Well, she feels as though we didn't really learn from
it.
Oh, we're listening to her.
I feel like I learned.
As society, we have made some progress. Right now, we're sliding back. But remember, we've made progress, and we will continue to make progress. You know, right now, hopefully it's the last gasp of this evangelical Christian right.
Yeah.
And these people my mother's age who are still voting.
I think we talked about William Wonsadal once on here.
Aw.
But my favorite is It's All Right to Cry, which I listen to regularly.
Aw, how's that go?
Yeah,
it makes me feel better, whatever.
I like the Free to Be You and Mean theme song by the New Seekers.
Yeah.
Shall we play it at the end of the song? We don't have the rights to it, but, you know. Yeah. You guys aren't going to rat us out, are you?
You won't.
Hey, guys, I want to remind folks that Feast of Fun is made possible because of generous support of fabulous people like you. Go to feastoffun.com/donate and make a one-time donation. Or consider becoming a member at feastoffun.com/plus and access 14
years? 14 years now. We're on our 14th season of podcasts. Can you
I can't believe podcasts have been around for 14 years.
Since 2004, but we started ours in 2005. Right?
Damn. So
technically, we were posting content as an RSS feed in 2004, but it was videos.
Feast of Fools.
A blog. And then officially, our first episode was February 8th, 2005. The Feast of Fools Internet Radio Show.
Yay!
And hopefully we'll be around for at least 14 more.
Yay!
You know, we'll
It'll be a artificial intelligence.
As long as people donate and continue to support the show, we will continue doing it. If they don't, we'll stop. We'll do other fun things.
The Google algorithm will take care of everything.
Yeah, it'll be fine. I want to remind people, too, that we have t-shirts for sale in our store. You can go to feastoffun.com/store and get a t-shirt today.
Robin, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
Now dance.
With rainbows.
Bye-bye.
There's a land that I see where the children are free. And I say it ain't far to this land from where we are. Take my hand, come with me where the children are free. Come with me, take my hand, and we'll live in a land where the river runs free, in a land through the green country, in a land to a shining sea. And you and me are free to be, you and me. I see a land bright and clear, and the tide when we'll live in this land, you and me, hand in hand. Take my hand, come along, lend your voice to my song. Come along.